So we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10, Text 8, in the matter of Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The individual person possessing different instruments of senses is called the Adhyatmik person. And the individual controlling deity of senses is called Adhidaivik. The embodiment seen on the eyeballs is called the Adhibhautik person. The supreme controlling Samanbhavanam is the personality of Godhead. In his plenary portion is Paramatma, or the Supersoul manifestation. In the Bhagavad Gita, 10.42, it is said, Ataiva Bahu Naitaina. All the controlling deities like Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva are different manifestations of a Paramatma feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who exhibits himself in such manners by entering into each and every universe generated from him. But still, apparently, there are divisions of a controller and controlled. For example, in the food controlling department, the controller of food is a person made with the same ingredients as a person who is controlled. Similarly, each and every individual in the world, material world, is controlled by the higher demigods. For example, we have our senses, but the senses are controlled by superior controlling deities. We cannot see without light, and the supreme controller of light is the sun. The sun god is in the sun planet, and we, the individual human beings, or any other being on this earth, are all controlled by the sun god, as far as our eyes are concerned. Similarly, all the senses we have are controlled by the superior demigods, who are also as much living entities as we are. But one is empowered while the other is controlled. The controlled living entity is called the Adhyatmik person, and the controller is called Adhidaivik person. All these positions in the material world are due to different fruitive activities. Any individual living being can become a son god, or even Brahma, or any other god in the upper planetary system, by a higher grade of pious work. And similarly, one becomes controlled by the higher demigods by lower grades of fruitive activities. So every individual living entity is subject to the supreme control of Paramatma, who puts everyone in different positions of the controller and the controlled. That which distinguishes the controller and controlled, i.e. the material body, is called the Adhibhautik Purush. The body is sometimes called Purush, as confirmed in the Vedas in the following hymn. Sava isa purusho na vasamaya. This body is called the anarasa embodiment. This body depends on food. The living entity which is embodied does not eat anything. However, because the owner is spirit in essence, the material body requires replacement of matter for the wearing and tearing of the mechanical body. Therefore, the distinction between the individual living entity and the controlling planetary deities is the anarasamaya body. The sun may have a gigantic body, and the man may have a smaller body, but all these visible bodies are made of matter. Nonetheless, the sun god and the individual person who are ruled as the controlled and controlled, who are related as the controlled and controlled, are the same spiritual parts and parcels of a supreme being. And it is the supreme being who plays different parts and parcels in different positions. And thus the conclusion is that the supreme person is the shelter of all. Translation, the individual person possessing different instruments of senses is called the Adhyatmik person, and the individual controlling deity of senses is called Adhidaivik. The embodiment seen on the eyeballs is called the Adhibhautik person. Bhagavatam is the answer to everything. Contains all the answers. And in this particular chapter, it's discussing the 10 principles which the Bhagavatam covers. And in this particular sloka, it's dealing with the Sanam Bonam, complete conclusion, the realization. In 7 slokas, all of the different 10 things, beginning from the creation, coming up to the Sanam Bonam. When Lord Chaitanya started to teach, he was teaching in such a way that the students became very confused. They started to challenge him, that what kind of way you're teaching? We have not seen this before. Each sloka he would teach, he would interpret it as the name of Krishna, the name of Krishna's energy. And in every sloka he will come to the same conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they challenged him on this, that we have not seen anyone teach like this before. What is that? So he explained to them that devotional service is the sum and volume of everything. And that all the slokas of all the shastras are pointing this out. And especially this Srimad Bhagavatam. He also pointed out that all the vowels of a Sanskrit language and all of the verbs, they indicate different names to Adi Krishna. So anyway, the students were challenging this, so he said, alright, let me think about it and we'll meet again later. Then the students went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teacher, Gangadas, and they asked him, what kind of way is he teaching? And they explained to him. So he said, alright, you go home now, I will speak with him. So he called for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come and see him. Mahaprabhu came there and offered his obeisances and touched his feet. And then he started to explain to him that yes, there's nothing wrong with your conclusions. But this is not the way the acharyas have taught in the past. They go through the different steps of explaining how the universe is created, what the activities of the Purusha avatars are, what the activities of the Manvantaris are, and so on. Finally coming to the Sanam Bonam. So yes, each sloka of the Bhagavatam can be interpreted for Krishna's pastimes. We can find Srimati Radharani's name in each sloka. We can find Srimati Radharani's name in each word of the Bhagavatam. But Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has pointed out that for the neophyte this would be suicide. Immediately try to jump to understanding the inner essence of the Bhagavatam, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But instead, to try to understand the activities of the Purusha avatar, how the universe was created, and how we are trapped within the universe, and slowly, slowly understand our situation, how to become free from this situation, how to again engage in Krishna's service, and slowly how to enter into the eternal pastimes of Krishna. So this is the standard format which the acharyas have given. And on a very high stage, yes, we will come to the platform of being able to see Radha and Krishna's pastimes in all of the slokas of Bhagavatam. In fact, depending how the words of a sloka are broken up, many different pastimes will be there each time. And some acharyas have commented on different verses like this. breaking them down again and again. And because the power of time is unlimited, there's actually no limit to how many times you can break down each sloka and explain, as given an indication of by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Atmarama verse in the first canto. Each word he was dividing so many times over and over again. And other acharyas have taken those same meanings and divided them further and further. So there is no limit to the Bhagavatam. But for the conditioned soul, for the soul who is still aspiring to control the senses of his body, then he should take the progressive steps and learn from the acharyas how to actually come to understand the samambhava. So in this sloka, it's dealing with that subject matter. It's giving an indication of what the Bhagavatam is going to cover. Each living entity is trapped in this world, trapped in a body, and a devoted body, which of course needs maintaining, needs watering, feeding, and is the object which is bewildering us. The immediate body which is covering us and the larger body of the whole universe is what is bewildering us completely. So we're totally controlled by this adivotic situation. And thus the adiatmic, the individual living entity who's trapped in this body, can only find suffering with each movement. Whatever he tries to do, he's being controlled at every step by the adidevic. The immediate adidevics are the controlling deities of the earth, water, fire, air, mind, intellect. There's demigods in charge of the ears, of each nostril, of each and every vein within the body, and each and every nadi in the body. Each and every type of herb and tree, species, is a controlling deity. So the point is that everything is very intensely controlled. And in the first stages, when one turns to a religious situation, then he will start bowing down to the controlling deities, accepting that there's something higher than oneself, somebody else in control. But as he sees that one controller is actually surpassed by some other controller, and they are surpassed by some other controller, in this way, we start to see that actually these adidevics are actually adiatmics. That they're individual living entities controlled by some higher force. And up to Lord Brahma, to material nature, presiding deity of material nature, then the Purusha avatars. And even they are under the control of Sankarsana, Aniruddha, Prajumna. And up, as one understands the philosophy, comes to understand that the supreme controller, Govinda Madhi Purusha Tamaham Bhajama, and that Govinda is the original controller, the original enjoyer. To be the controller and not be an enjoyer would just be a total waste of time. The reason somebody wants to control is that they want to enjoy. They go hand in hand. But to be the enjoyer means you become offensive at the same time. Unless you're very much aware of who the supreme enjoyer is and the supreme controller. And when one becomes very much aware, then he surrenders Srila Sanatana Goswami's commentary on Bhagavatam, Brihad Bhagavatam Gita. He slowly follows this path, that who is the topmost, and eventually comes to Vrajavrindavan, Krishna, Sanambonam. Spring enjoyer. Spring enjoyer. Who's served by all living entities, who's served by all the internal potencies, and is also served by all the Vishnu avatars, Vishnu expansions. As is exemplified by Balaram expanding as the shoes, expanding as the dam, expanding as the bed, the umbrella, just to serve Krishna. The whole spiritual world is expanded to serve Goloka, to protect against the intrusion of those who are not on that level of surrender. But it is very dangerous. Even we know what is the Sanambonam, we know Govinda Madhipurusha, but it's very dangerous to jump there like a frog and try to enter into those pastimes and just act this way, some greatly advanced person. First we have to become free from our present situation of being attached to the mind and body, very much taking shelter of the mind and the senses. Become free from this, we have to come to the platform of accepting that we're adhyatmic, that we're supposed to be controlled. That's our eternal position. Control means to be enjoyed. Our position is to be enjoyed by the enjoyer. Much like a piece of fruit or some nice foodstuffs. Simply to be enjoyed. Put a piece of food in your mouth and it starts to try and taste your tongue, tries to become the enjoyer, then it will be a very difficult situation. It would be a situation worse than us. We have to learn how to become the enjoyed. We have to become suitable to be enjoyed. Something is only enjoyable if it's very tasty, very beautiful. This is what the Acharyas is giving, how to come to that position of being the enjoyed. How to come to that position of being a personality whose only desire is to satisfy the senses of a supreme enjoyer. Now the conditioned soul has no concept, because the whole position of a conditioned soul is that he just wants to become the enjoyer. That's what he's trying to figure out. He comes in contact with someone who lets him know, yeah, perform some pious activities, you get some better birth, become very rich, become a controller, or you can go higher and become the king, control, or you can go higher and become some kind of a demigod, or you can go higher and become one of the Astadevas, one of the eight main controlling demigods such as the Sun and Indra. Or you can go even higher and become Lord Brahma. And that's it. The highest position a living entity can attain as controller is to become a Brahma of one of the universes. position. Because he's actually adiabatic, he's actually a living entity. And now he's in the position of being the controller. How is he going to control and not try to enjoy? But instead, pass all the enjoyment, all the praise, on to Krishna. And why become the enjoyer? Why accept such a position? When you don't get any of the benefits. And if you do take the benefits, then you become a mouse again. It's very dangerous to try to deal with the material nature. Very dangerous indeed. That's why we see great personalities like Brahma, Indra, all tripping up, all ending up committing offenses. It's better to become servant of a servant of a servant of a servant. Better really to understand what adhyatmik means. That yes, let me be controlled. That's my eternal position anyway. Na dhanam, na sundarim. Let me not desire those positions. It's only lead to a very dangerous situation. Let's see. Living entity is very strong, very much fixed at the lotus feet of Sri Guru Granth, then you easily become swayed in that controlling position. There was a situation in Vrindavan where we were offering very large bhoga to the deities Krishna, Balaram, Bhadisham, Nitaigor. Huge amounts. In fact, each plate was so heavy with the offering that one man could hardly carry it. And this was going on for some time. And Prabhupada came for a visit and he wanted to see the accounts, and he totally became very angry at how much you're spending on the bhoga, and he wouldn't be pacified by any explanation. So then he insisted that the bhoga be cut down within the expense of what the collections were, and that all of the Mahaprasad should be offered to the pilgrims for buying, and then if any remnants were there, could be distributed to the devotees. So the temple president of that time, he felt that he should still get a plate of Mahaprasad every day. And a person who was overseeing the Mahaprasad felt that he shouldn't. And so conflict took place. He was feeling, no, I have to see it, I have to taste it to make sure the standard is good. And the person looking after it said, no, we can take care of that. So this argument actually went to Srila Prabhupada. And he was complaining, I'm the temple president, and they're not even letting him. Prabhupada told him, no, your position in the temple president is not to become supreme enjoyer in the temple, but your position is to serve everyone else, to make sure that they're engaged in service. And he said, as far as Prasadam is concerned, when everyone else is taken, then you should take. You have to be very careful. slip back to habit, which we develop to be a try and be the enjoyer. And we can easily slip back into it. And before you know, you're once again totally engulfed in just concentrating on how to be the enjoyer and forgetting completely about your position as the eternal servant of Krishna. So until we're totally free from this bad habit, then we have to be working on it constantly. Constantly pulling up our mind and senses. Now wait a minute, I'm right in the way. Back into the darkness, back into the ignorance. Constantly pulling ourselves back and reminding ourselves, Yuti Krishna Das is my position. We have to be constantly endeavoring to practice that position. Becoming a servant of a servant of a servant. So unless we're very, very fortunate, it's unlikely that we're going to be able to see Krishna and Krishna's eternal associates all the time. So then we have to practice becoming a servant of a servant through the servants who are manifested before our eyes, the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, where would our practice be? Because it's not lip service. I as a servant of Krishna. It's not just something philosophical to understand. Philosophy, austerities, these are all servants of bhakti. And bhakti is so much higher. You can only really serve somebody if you love that person. You can only really surrender to somebody's whims if you love somebody. So we have to find Vaishnavas to serve, to practice this service mood. And we have to find further and further advanced Vaishnavas who have that mood of service. We have that mood of surrender. And by trying to satisfy such Vaishnavas, we'll automatically develop that mood. Just as much as you jump in a vat of green dye, your whole body will become green. According to the association, one becomes like that. But it depends on the mood of association and the degree of surrender in that association. To that degree, the mood can manifest. One can imbibe the mood of the more advanced personality. And so it goes on and on, until we're actually in a position to come in contact with one of the eternal associates of Krishna. Cowherd boy, cowherd girl, parent, cow tree. Come in contact with the eternal servant of Krishna, who is in the mood which attracts us, mood of service which attracts us. And then by trying to serve that personality, then we will develop a similar mood. Not that we'll become the same. That's Mayavadi philosophy. We get a similar mood according to our own personality. If you slight variety in the same mood. And then slowly, slowly we'll be in a position to actually render service to Krishna in his eternal abode. We manifest a form born out of that mood and born out of our desire. We manifest a form which is suitable for satisfying Krishna in a particular mood. The cows are fully satisfying Krishna in Vrindavan. The trees, creepers, because they're totally dedicated, every fiber of their being, to satisfying the senses of Krishna. But if we try to jump to that immediately, and not slowly understand, step by step, these 10 divisions of the Bhagavatam, then we will not be successful. No more than if you try to build a building and don't put the foundations. It may appear to stand for some days, but slowly it will crack and fall. We should also be very careful to protect our Bhakti Lata Beach, our creeper of devotion, and not to enter into the association of those foolish persons who think that they've already attained a relationship with Krishna, even though they're not in a position to control their own senses. Is more dangerous than anyone else's. Because we become like them and enter into that illusion of thinking I'm a great devotee. Only to find out at the time of death that we have to take birth again. There are so many cheating personalities in the material world. So Lord Krishna, he first killed the demon Putana. Who represents the cheating persons, who represents the cheating groups. She came disguised as a beautiful lady, a mother. Cheated Krishna's mothers. Tried to cheat Krishna, but got destroyed. You must be very careful, step by step, not to be cheated. Devotional service to Krishna is attained with sincerity, with deep desire, and a lot of practice to become a servant of a servant of a servant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, when he would sit down to hear Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit, along with Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, and all of the other associates, he would always request, "Oh, today you're going to read the story of Prahlad Maharaj. Or today you're going to read the story of Dhruva Maharaj." He wasn't saying, "Oh, let's hear the 10th canto again, please give some deeper understanding of the Rasalila chapters." In Kartik of 72, in Vrindavan at the Radha Damodar temple. Srila Prabhupada spoke on the nectar of devotion. And everyone was thinking, oh, Prabhupada's really going to churn the nectar here, tell us some intimate details of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Every day he was pointing out how we're not this body. Our position is servant of a servant of a servant. If you feed a pig Sunday, she will not appreciate it. Just wants to enjoy. Well, let me enjoy the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I don't want to go to class and hear again I'm not this body. Hear again that I can't control my mind. Hear again that my ego is